Bring you greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus this morning. Our brother in the Sunday School devotions brought a very good introduction to the message this morning. We just came across the threshold of another year, entering into 2019. Then to look back over the past year, and look forward to another year of being able to enjoy the privilege of serving Jesus. At least we should look at it that way. But yet, we are human, and there are things along the way that we need to improve on. But I want to think about the new year today. I want you to go with me to Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2. I want to draw a couple points from here. Then I want to look at some things that, whether you call them New Year's resolutions or whether you call them principles that we must re-strengthen in the world in which we live today. In Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. Now, you go over to verse 17 through 19. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk realized that in this time of Israel's history, very dark time, that yet he could still be faithful. He didn't ask to be escaped what Israel was going to face, what the children of Israel would face, but he asked the Lord to he realized that in Jesus he had his strength. Every one of us needs a time to be revived. We need a time for revival. And as we look at a new year ahead of us, I want to notice a number of things this morning that even in the dark times in which we live, with Jesus Christ, there is victory. And it is possible to stand and be faithful. If Noah and his family could stand in the time that they lived, we certainly can stand today and be faithful. Victory is possible. May we purpose to please God. God knows what we're going to face this year. The devotional leader this morning brought some of those things out. He knows what lies ahead of us. We don't. But we do know that the one who holds the future will give us what we need to walk through, what we may face this year. Now we know that there are things like continual reading of our Bibles, studying more, visiting more, teaching more, and even praying more. Yes, we need to strengthen those things as well. But I want to go beyond that. And I believe that today, number one, and I'm not going to turn to all the scriptures I have here, but I believe that we need to purpose to live lives of purity. Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat. In all the immorality today, and I'm not going to mention all of that, it is possible to remain pure. God puts a very high standard on purity. You look at Psalms chapter 24, we can meet that standard by the help and the grace of God. But let us strive to put away all those sinful things. You know, perhaps there's some questionable things in your experience this morning that you need to deal with. And maybe no one else here knows about it. But if you want to have victory over immorality, if you want to be pure, then you need to deal with those things. Or you will not have success in the year of 2019 in your spiritual life. Unless we are willing to get rid of those things that drag us down. You take Mary Magdalene. In Luke chapter 8, verses 1 to 3, she had a new beginning from that time on. You take the sinful woman in Luke chapter 7, verses 37 to 50. She made a new beginning, and she walked with Jesus. The woman taken in adultery in John chapter 8, verses 3 to 11. She had a new beginning. This is a new year. May we strengthen the things that remain that are weak. The things of purity of life begins with a pure heart. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, one of the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. A life, a heart of impurity will not see God. We will not be spending eternity in heaven with God. Go to Acts chapter 15, verse 9. Acts chapter 15, verse 9. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Faith in God. It is impossible to please Him without faith. I believe the purity of heart also, going to Philippians chapter 4, verse 12. Philippians chapter 4, verse 12. I'm sorry, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Purity of heart is manifested in the way that we think. It comes into our minds. We never do anything or commit anything without thinking first. There have been thoughts there that have produced actions, and I put many people in prison. What about the cell phones? What about the smartphones? What about the internet? What about when you're gone? And somebody checks where you've been on the internet. Somebody looks at your history. I'm here to tell you that God knows all of that. Would you have to be embarrassed? But purity of heart then is finally manifested in the way that we live. Begins in the thought and produces action. God help us this morning. Let this be one of our strong resolutions that we want to put as number one, very important in our Christian walk, because it'll make a difference in your eternal destiny. And I believe, secondly, we need to be a good example. A good example for others to follow. A good leader type person. From the youngest to the oldest. We all can be good examples as we associate with people from day to day. We teach our children. Parents, this morning, we need to teach our children to be good examples as they grow up. We instill this in them. It's part of our leadership responsibility in the home. So we can be leaders by setting a proper example. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word, conversation, charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Think about that list of things there. That we are called to be an example. The words that we speak. Our conversations that we have with each other, are they uplifting? Are they upbuilding? Be an example in that. Parents, We can't expect our children, if we're not going to be what we should be in our conversations, in charity, acts of kindness, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Remember, God will not hear us if we hide iniquity in our heart. There are other scriptures one could look at this morning. Let's look at 2 Timothy 3:15. We're right close there. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise. This is Paul talking to Timothy here, unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 1:13. Going back just a little bit further. First Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We come into this world with an empty mind, and it's going to be filled with something. And if we don't fill it with the right kind of thing, the devil will fill it with the wrong kind of thing. Parents, it's what we instill in our children. We don't want to be like the people around us whose primary goals are a good job and a good retirement, a good home and a new car and a bountiful retirement. People talk about retirement. Our retirement is in heaven. Yes, it is. We're not those who 1 John 2:15 to 17 talks about who love the things of this world. But we love the things of God this morning. We love the Word of God, and we love to feed on it. We love to find time in the Word of God. We love to talk about the Word of God, do we? I hope we do. I trust we do. But it takes diligence. It takes effort. It takes pressing on. Pressing toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. A third commitment that we need to make is to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. There are many paradoxes in Christianity. You become victorious by surrendering. You become victorious in the Christian life by surrendering. You win by giving up. You live by dying. You lose your life by finding it. We must give up the personal pride. We must give up the personal ambitions, the personal selfishness, and surrender our hearts and minds and souls to the Lord. We must be instant in season and out of season. That's not just for preachers. You're called to help someone. And it may not be the convenient time. And many times it comes at some of the most inconvenient times of the flesh could ever come. Yes, there is the enemy of being a pessimist. We have the fear of defeat, so we don't do anything. Consider the man who had the one talent in Matthew chapter 25, 24 to 30. He hid it in a napkin. God wants us to do what we can do. He wants us to be used in any way that we can to glorify Him, whether it be a convenient time or not. We as Christians are not defeatists, but we can be victorious. Victory is possible only in Jesus Christ. Number four, we need to be willing to accept the challenge. God has placed before us one of the greatest challenges we will ever have. And let's accept that challenge to be a soldier for the Lord. Maybe relate somewhat to the last one. But turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 38 and 39. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to read those 38 and 39. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We are not of those that draw back, but those who believe to the saving of the soul. You know, dear ones, it is possible for us and anyone out there to find salvation. Even those whom we may feel sometimes that it's just no use anymore. As long as there's life and breath, we have the responsibility to be there and help them find victory in Jesus. It won't matter if we fail in various worldly endeavors, but if we miss heaven, we have utterly failed. Without heaven, we have lost it all. So let us rise up to the challenge that God has placed before us to be a servant of His. And be a vessel through which He can work. In the fifth place, I believe that we need to have a purpose in using kindness as a means to happiness in the Lord. You know, people today around us, and even it's not far from us as Christians, we face the challenge of selfishness. Many people are selfish, critical, unfriendly, and cold. And because they are that, doesn't mean we have to be, especially when being like them in what tends to make us happy. Are we the kind of person that is kind? Are we the kind of person that is happy and joyful in the Lord? I believe that we should be some of the happiest people on the face of the earth. Why? Because we have Jesus as our Savior. We have Jesus as our conductor. Consider the words of Paul to the church of Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. And I don't think we should be those who look like they've lost their last friend. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That shouldn't be a problem among God's people, should it? Well, we're human. We need to purpose to be those who are kind, who love one another, because how much Christ has forgiven us. Can we forgive others? If we follow this advice, we'll find that kindness gives birth to more kindness. You teach your children to be kind one to another, and it produces more kindness. We as adults sometimes have a lot to learn in that as well as we go through life. We need to teach our children to show kindness even when someone else does not show kindness to us, and it will help to produce that in others. I believe that if we follow this advice, we'll find that it'll change the atmosphere in our churches. It'll change the atmosphere in our homes. It works that way. But no, we sometimes too often wait for the other person first to move. And we can't do that. We must move first. God is counting on you to move first. For us to be kind doesn't mean that we need to have a lot of money or do a lot of great things. It starts right in the home, to be kind, teaching siblings to be kind one to another. In the church, it follows through. In Romans chapter 12, verse 15, Romans chapter 12, verse 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. And that we need to be one to another. Need to be that one for another. Anyone can express concern and care for the feelings of others. Anyone can speak in a kind tone to others. God expects us to do that. Parents, we need to insist on that in the home, so that siblings speak kindly, in kind tones, in a kind tone of voice to one another. We need to speak that way to each other in church life. And it'll change the picture in church life. There will be love and unity for one another. Can we speak in a tone of kindness that others can understand that we are really, truly kind? If we desire to be happy and wish to contribute to the happiness of others, then let's try being kind in all situations. And it'll produce something that will be seen as a testimony to those around us. It will also make a pleasant atmosphere as we dwell among each other and as we labor among each other. Kindness will work wonders for us as well as wonders for others. I believe the sixth purpose that we must have is whether you want to call them resolutions, is to be more loving. Now, while we mention all of these, don't forget, there's a lot of normal things that we must do first, and that is reading and studying the Word of God. Turn with me to John chapter 13, the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. It's a test of true discipleship. Are you a true disciple of Jesus this morning? And you're going to be kind. You're going to be loving. We all know that the basic fundamental principle of Christianity is love. I look at love as the hub of the wheel. I look at the fruit of the Spirit as the spokes of the wheel. And when the rubber meets the road, there'll be a big difference in our attitude and our mentality, and a witness goes forth. I believe that if we see any of our fellow Christians in need, let us help them. Go with me to James 1:27. In James chapter 1, verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their afflictions and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Go now to 1 John chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. 'But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in action and in truth.' This doesn't mean that we have to have a lot of money to give to people, but be there and help them. maybe in a physical way. Encourage them. So ability plus opportunity equals responsibility. You get that? Ability plus opportunity equals responsibility. Visit the orphans and the widows. Help those in need. And I believe visiting means literally involved in visiting. Going to see and looking upon as we go to see, and we hear and see the needs of others, whatever it may be. I have a man in our congregation that is a war veteran of Vietnam War. And he gets rather lonely at times, and I started praying with him on the phone when he calls me. And he said, I just find some real rest in that. And it does seem to calm him down. And I find that prayer, praying with him really works. And I think that's the power of prayer. As those things speak to his heart, and as we endeavor to continue to work with him, we need to literally do these things. We need to go help those people. We need to help them and talk to them on their level that they can understand. You know, I don't believe anyone has visited anyone until we have personally gone to see them. Might be inconvenient sometimes. An experience here just a couple weeks ago, and got called out in the middle of the night to help someone. Inconvenient time. But you know, unless we're willing to go when those calls come, we'll miss the blessing that God has for us and them. We need to help one another spiritually as well. Physically, yes. We all need, as God's people, to help one another and to work together in unity and love toward the goal of eternal life. Even though we may be Christians, we are weak humans sometimes. And sometimes the flesh is weak, but the Spirit is willing. Are we willing to go when the Spirit says go? No matter what time of the day or night it is. I believe we also need to purpose in our heart that we're going to trust God more in the future. I need to trust God more in the future. Too many times we want to take things in our own hands because we feel like things are getting out of hand when really God is in control. And if we go to Him and we marvel at how He leads and directs. A man got into a streetcar one day and noticed a little girl in the car sitting alone, being very radiant and happy and humming a little tune to herself. She was a picture of joy. The gentleman leaned forward and he said, "Aren't you afraid, my little girl? Little girl, aren't you afraid of riding all alone in this streetcar?" "Oh no," she replied. "No one can hurt me in this car. My father's the conductor. Jesus Christ is your conductor. He's my conductor. I trust He is." You know, we're thundering through the universe. We're thundering through the journey of life. Ups and downs. Our brother mentioned in the devotional this morning that we don't know what lies ahead for some of us. We don't know all the bumps in the road, but we know our conductor does. Our pilot knows all the bumps in the road. He is all-knowing. He knows what you're going to face tomorrow. He knows what you'll face throughout the coming weeks. We don't. We're going at an inconceivable speed, swept through joy and grief, sickness and health, life and death. All the while, our Heavenly Father, remember, is our conductor. Can we trust God more? And if we trust our conductor, there should be a song on our lips. There should be joy and praise that's coming out that the world hears and sees. As we journey through life, let me ask you this personal question. For each of you to ponder in your heart, is Jesus your shepherd? If he is your shepherd, I can assure you that you will never lack anything. Psalms 23 tells us that. We'll never lack anything. He is your shepherd. The Lord is your good shepherd. He is the shepherd. This morning, as we looked at a number of those things that we need to strengthen, we need to purpose in our heart, I want to encourage you this morning with five principles in building a better relationship with Jesus in 2019. I want to give you five tools, we might call them, that will help you to build a better, and help me to build a better relationship, is to strengthen your prayer life in 2019. Prayer is so important because it is a lifeline for the Christian. How would you feel if you knew the president was coming through town, and as you were going to have the opportunity to shake his hand, or maybe some other important person, you'd probably be a bit nervous and would think about what you might say to him or her. But what about Jesus? He's your shepherd. Someday, you will meet him in the judgment bar. What will you say to him? God loves us so much, and he understands what we are going through, that he wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from all of us. That's why we can come boldly to the throne of grace, as Hebrews 4 talks about, to obtain mercy and to find grace. Yes, to find grace to help in time of need. Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. When they came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray, Jesus taught them how to pray. That prayer is there for you and I today. That prayer starts out praising and thanking God. It goes on to pray for God's kingdom to come and for his will and work to be done today. Requesting our needs and the needs of others be met, whether healing, food, wisdom, or protection. And then to accept whatever God's will is in those situations. Seeking forgiveness and to help to forgive others. Asking for protection when temptations come, because temptations will come. We're living in a world today, we will face temptations, but remember that God will, with the temptation, make a way of escape. I believe that we need to get on our knees time and time again throughout the day. Would you go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 to 18. You all know what verse 17 says. 1 Thessalonians 5. Let's start at verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Pray without ceasing. That means not even stopping. Now we know we can't be on our knees all day long. There were times when God told people to get up off their knees. It was time to do something. But I believe that we need to be in the mentality of prayer. And I believe we can pray when we're driving along. We don't shut our eyes, but we can pray. We can be in the attitude of prayer. The second tool that I want to leave with you is meditation. How do I apply this today as I read my Bible and meditate? We need to think about what we read. It is directed thinking, reflection, contemplation, or concentration. It helps to make our Bible reading very meaningful. Your devotional is so important, it's such an important tool. And the meditating on God's Word is such an important tool to living a purposeful life in 2019 for the Lord. We have a lot of meditations and one could turn to them. I'm not going to take time to do that. In the book of Psalms, the psalmist said in Psalms 119, verses 97 to 104, that it helped to make him wiser. I believe that meditation helps us to know where we are going, to ponder the path of our feet, as Solomon put it in Proverbs 4:26. Ponder on what you read. If you walk away from your devotions and you don't remember what you read, you weren't meditating on it. Carry something with you. But if you meditate on it, it'll be riveted in your mind that you can use that throughout the day. The third tool I want to give you is the tool of fasting, and that goes with prayer. Fasting, a very serious and powerful tool. And the Bible has many examples of people of God who voluntarily went without food and drink for a time to humble themselves and draw close to God. But Jesus told his disciples that he explained that prayer, and it's a situation can sometimes only deal with by prayer and fasting. He told his disciples that these things come by prayer and fasting. There are situations in life that is the right thing to do. And I think sometimes we need to keep it in our practice more than what we should. But I want to notice a little bit just what is biblical fasting. We can go without food for other reasons. But there are some things that we need to understand about biblical fasting. It's not for show. In Matthew 6:16-18, it's not to be undertaken very lightly. It's not to try to get something from others or try to manipulate God or try to tell God how to answer our prayers. Fasting, I believe, should first and foremost be about personally drawing near to God. We're approaching an ordination back home for another minister. And I believe that I encourage our congregation to spend time in prayer and fasting. That God's will be done. We're approaching a bishop ordination in our district in March. I believe these are times when we need to spend time in prayer and fasting as a congregation. The next tool that I want to give you in your Bible study is to listen to God. If you never meditate, how do you expect to hear God speak to you and to make these resolutions we've talked about earlier powerful in your life? You ever talk to a person who does all the talking and never listens to what anyone else has to say? It becomes a one-sided conversation. When we talk to God, we need to listen to God. We need to hear Him speak. And God will speak. You know, most of us today are blessed with a copy of the Word of God, the Word of life. Right here it is in our hands. I believe every individual, even children, have Bibles in their hands today when they come to church. And we say, what a blessing. It's a tremendous blessing. Can you imagine? The Old Testament, when you got together just to hear the Word read. If you would come here to church and it's the only time you hear the Bible, you only get to read the Bible or even just hear it read. But it is God's Word, and we need to listen to God speak as we read His Word. And we encourage personal Bible study. And I believe the reason we read the Word of God, the Word of life, is because it is necessary for our spiritual growth. Spiritual life as food is to the physical body. Both the Old and the New Testament shows us how God thinks and how we can become more like Him. And there's a number of scriptures we could look at if we had time. But maybe we'll just turn to Psalms 119, verse 105. This is Old Testament. Psalms 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It shows us where to walk. It shows us how to walk in this world, in this dark world in which we live. We need to be doers of the word and not just hearers of the word. Go with me to 2 Timothy 3, 15 and 17. 15 to 17. Second Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 to 17, and that from a child. We did read verse 15, but 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The word of God is complete this morning. It's complete. The word of God has stood the test of time in the past, in the present, and it will in the future. It will in the future. Everything that God has promised in His book will come to pass. So we can pray that God's will, that God will open our understanding and help us grow and be doers of the word, because just reading it is not enough. But we must be doers of the word of God. To our youth, remember that. We need to be doers, and to all of us. In the fifth tool is this, is fellowship. Friendship with God and His people. Do you look forward to coming here this morning? I trust that we look forward to Sunday morning, our midweek meetings. And we look forward to supporting the activities of the church. Don't just be a bench warmer. It is a dangerous world out there. And sometimes it should be strengthening for us to come together to meet and assemble with the people of God. Hebrews tells us, and so much more as you see the day approaching. It was mentioned before that perhaps Christ will come in 2019. We don't know. I remember when the year 2000 hit. We're wondering what's going to happen. Well, we're still here, 2019. But I do know, and I believe in the promises of God, that someday it will be reality. So we should look forward to coming together and meeting with the people of God and support the church and encourage and learn from each other. Be able to discuss the scriptures. Go with me to Philippians chapter 2, 1 to 5 yet. Philippians chapter 2, 1 to 5. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, there's a lot unpacked in those five verses. If we can but make that reality in our life, it's going to change our churches and change our homes for the glory of God. May God be with you and continue to walk with Him as you serve Him. Shall we pray?